And so, Jesus heard that John had been arrested, and he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him, and as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, the lesson from the gospel this morning should sound familiar to us. It is the calling of the first four of Jesus' disciples or followers. Jesus returns to Galilee to begin his ministry. Galilee's a seashore town, and so there are lots of fishermen around in Galilee. Jesus had heard that John, and that would be John the Baptist, who had been baptizing, a baptism of repentance, had gotten himself into trouble for his word and his work. And he had landed himself in prison. And so Jesus chooses to return where John had been preaching and begin preaching on his own a baptism of repentance and an invitation to the kingdom of God, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Now, this is a time in the scripture where we see the promise that God had made in Jesus coming to a fruit. God is breaking in. God is breaking into the ordinary of the time with an urgent message, and the messenger is Jesus. And so Jesus is part of God's breaking in upon the earth. And Jesus is to bring the message of salvation for all of the children of Israel. What God had promised in the old scriptures was coming into fruit and fulfillment. And the time was now. The scripture quotes Isaiah, the people who walked in darkness were going to see the light. Now, this is the season of Epiphany, as we said before. It's the time when God, Epiphany is the time when God makes God's self known to us. And so in this season, Jesus is the light of God that is breaking a new dawn upon the earth. And the bright light that begins Jesus' public ministry begins in this text of Matthew with the calling of the disciples. It's kind of like Jesus has said, "Okay, time's up. How long have you been waiting and waiting? Hundreds of years." Remember Isaiah's 800 years? Remember we said in Advent that it had been 400 years since the people had heard a word from God. And so it's as though Jesus is saying, "Wake up! How long will you wait? You have no more time to wait. For the time is now, and the kingdom is to be drawn near now. Right on time. Let's go to work. Now, one of the things that is part of our faith as children of God is that we are to lean on, to trust in God's timing. How many of you have known God's timing to be somewhat different from your time? Right? We want God on our terms and in our time, and sometimes God says no or wait. And in this time, God says, the time is now. And we know by faith that God's timing is always perfect. Our timing, not so much. But God's timing is always perfect. So in this text, we get that as a testimony. The time is now. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The Messiah is among you. The Messiah has come. It is my Son, Jesus. And in him you will trust and believe and follow. Now, the first thing that a leader needs to do when he's trying to bring a message, especially a big message, like the kingdom of God is near, is to find people who will follow him as leader. So he comes upon this fishing village on the Sea of Galilee, and he finds four people. What he sees in them is their capacity to follow, if only they are willing to help bring people into this kingdom that is drawing near. He was searching for people who would reach into the deep darkness of people's lives and offer to them light, reconciliation, and redemption. People who were still waiting, people who were still hoping. So he finds four common men. Now, one of God's great trademarks in Jewish history and all throughout Christendom is God is made known for raising ordinary people to extraordinary purpose. That's what it means when someone's calling is fulfilled. It's when God takes a hold of our lives and raises us from ordinary people to his extraordinary purpose. These were just fishermen. We probably can say they were good fishermen. It was the family business after all. They had been fishing all of their lives since they were wee little lads. And now comes this man who has a vision, and he has a dream, and he has a calling, and he wants people to follow him and participate in the dream and the mission and the calling. It's extremely important that these are not those who just follow blindly, but who fully will participate in what Jesus is calling them to. Now, this kind of calling doesn't happen without risk and without faith. So I watch Flip or Flop a lot. Tarek and Christina, any fans? Any fans? Tarek and Christina. Tarek is famous for going out and finding the most god-awful houses. I mean, he goes into houses where food is still left on tables and things are totally destroyed. And he goes into these houses and he convinces Christina or his partners that this is a risky business venture. But the greater the risk, the greater the reward. That's what Jesus calls us to as his disciples. He calls us to a greater risk for a greater reward. Now, one can go through life avoiding following, One can go through life avoiding hearing Jesus' call in his or her life. One can go through life just merrily rocking along in one's own world. But unless one risks, if one hears the call of God, one will not attain the greater reward. You see, Jesus had a dream. He had a vision. He envisioned the kingdom of God being present in the lives of the people, a place where God reigns, where peace is not only achievable, but the norm of life, a place where all people are created equal, a place where the poor are raised up, and a place where children and widows are taken care of, a place where the naked are clothed, a place where those who are sick and in prison are visited, and those who are hungry and thirsty, they have their appetites sated. A place where lions lay down with lambs. This is the kingdom of God. And Jesus had the vision for the kingdom, and he called others to become a part of that vision, to catch that vision, and to come along with him in his vision and bring their vision so that the kingdom of God might truly be brought more near. So he comes upon these four guys. First, he finds Simon, whom we call Peter, and Simon's brother Andrew. And then he finds James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Some translate this to the sons of thunder. It's kind of thought that they were bigger than life characters. And he calls them forward, and they're not afraid. The scripture says, at once they left their nets and followed him. And what's implied in that scripture is not only do they leave their nets, but they leave their families, they leave their fathers. How many of you have ever tried to leave the family business? Dicey at best, right? Who wants to disappoint mom and dad and say, your vision isn't our vision? Sorry, I'm kind of blessed. I have my mother's side of the family. They're in a family business, and they're in their fourth generation, and they have a fifth generation coming up prepared to take that business on. That is highly unusual. Most family businesses don't make it past the second generation. And if it's the third generation, that generation's job is to put the family business to rest. So here are these fishermen. They've been tied to this business all of their lives. And they leave. They say that James and John are in the boat with their father. They put down their nets and they follow this guy, whom they know little or nothing about. But he has seen something in them. And he has called them forward out of the mundanity of their life, out of the simplicity of their life, into a risk, a pretty substantial risk, with a promise of a great reward. At once. When you read this scripture, I want you to key in on those two words. At once they gave up everything to follow Jesus, not knowing where they would go or what they would do for sure or what they would have or how their lives would be sustained. Have you ever taken that kind of leap of faith, perhaps in a vocational calling? You know, you leave home and comfort and what you know to go to some foreign place like Slidell. I have. At once, they left and they followed Jesus. Now, this is a big deal. This is an important part of this message. Jesus did not just call me. Now, it is true. I was called. I feel called. I feel as though I've answered my call. And sometimes I've done it better and with more grace than other times, but I've answered my call. You see, I was called when I was 12 years old, sitting around a campfire at Camp Estruma. That's when I was called. And it took until I was 28 years old to get me on the path that got me to seminary. But God was with me all throughout that call. I know, or else I wouldn't be able to be here standing in front of you today. And I have a particular calling. But you, each one of you, every one of you, and all of you have a calling from God if only you listen and open your hearts to receive the calling. Jesus called you. He calls each of us, and he calls all of us. And what are we called to? What's the mission? It's fishing. We're called in the same way that Simon and Peter and James and John were called. We're called to go into the world and to bring the good news of Jesus' calling in our lives, and to bring the good news of Jesus' saving act in our lives, and to bring the good news of the abundant life that God has promised us. You can be poor and very rich. Jesus calls us. And then Jesus tells us that we're to go fishing. Fishing to spread the forgiveness and grace of Jesus Christ to all. Fishing to share God's love and his mercy and the way that God has worked in our lives for us to overcome. We're called to go fishing and share reconciliation and renunciation of sin. We're called to say, God has made a difference in my life, and I think God can too make a difference in your life. We're called to go out into the world and find the places where hurt is and bring healing. We're called to do whatever, whenever God inspires it in our hearts to do something for another. We're called to bring people to Christ so that they may know the promises of God are true and are found in Jesus Christ. Now, here's my confession. I only know one thing about fishing. I really do. I'll tell you that later. But Reverend Ken Pierpoint has shared a story about fishing that talks also about sometimes we don't fish properly. So I want to share that story with you. He talks about it being a beautiful autumn day. A few years ago, he and some friends and their children are floating along in canoes on this river in Lake Michigan. And it was during the salmon run. And Ken says, it's just something to behold, to see the fish run like that. They're so big and they're so massive and they're so fast. And he said that they cruise through like tornadoes cutting through the water. So he tells the story. He says, our plan was to put in just below the dam and float down a few miles fishing and enjoying the beautiful autumn day. We'd taken up fly fishing, but one of the guys had rigged a spin casting rod with some spawn, and we'd gone on ahead with the younger boys while the older boys had hung back. And they seemed more interested in finding trout than finding salmon. So he says, we're mostly canoeing, and our plan was to take a few salmon if they might jump into the boat. The older boys that hung back, they had fly rods and they were cast fishing, and they were ignoring the salmon totally. He said, the first time I saw a salmon cruise by upstream, I was shocked at its size. It was a very big, very fast fish. But about an hour into our trip, we rounded a bend, and ahead of us, three or four huge salmon were churning the water like a washing machine. It was a spectacle impossible to ignore. Quickly, I grabbed the rod, and I began frantically casting into the pool. And for the next few minutes, it was like we were taken with a fever. My friend Tim and I are both professional men, but we lost all reserve and started going after the salmon like crazy, flailing the water with our lures. He said, my first cast landed on the bank, and my second cast snarled into an overhanging tree. Tim waded over into the hole to get my line free while I made wild gestures upstream so the boys would know that we had found a great fishing hole inhabited by salmon. I wanted to get their attention. And so he says, upriver, the guy saw that we were into something, and they began to paddle back fast to see what it was. And by the time they were close enough for us to gesture to indicate how big the salmon were, the big fish were gone. And the hole was as still as church on a Monday morning. He says, in our enthusiasm to land a big fish, we had so fouled the hole that there would be no fishing there for the rest of the afternoon. The worst part was that we had to put up with the boys ribbing us for the rest of the day. And he concludes his story by saying this. Jesus called himself a fisher of men, and he expected that all who considered themselves his disciples would follow him in the pursuit. If we're not careful in our eagerness to catch people for God, though, we can drive them away. This especially happens when people don't feel that we genuinely care for them. When they sense we see them as a project or a Sunday school assignment, then we are clumsy fishermen. When we just unload our canned speech on them while we're keeping them at a distance relationally, they'll usually not really hear with their hearts. We want to be ready to give the message of the gospel. Without it, no one will have eternal life. We need to tell it well, and we need to tell it often. But if we're not careful to accompany the words of the gospel with the music of genuine love, we will foul the hole and ruin the fishing. Now, as I said before, I'm no fisherman, this is certain. But I wonder how many times and how many ways I have ruined the fishing. It is true that sometimes we get so caught up in our own selves that we can't feel the hurt and the hunger, the pain of those living around us. And we ruin the fishing. It's as Ken Pierpoint says, we foul up the fishing hole. So I want you to take note of the last verse of our lesson this morning. Jesus has asked the four to follow him, and then it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus took the disciples, and Jesus did not foul up the fishing hole. But he went and he told the good news to all who would listen. He reached out to every kind of person one could imagine, even those who were sick or infirmed. Remember, if one was sick, they were unclean and not even allowed into temple worship. Jesus took that message and he went out to the margins of society. And he proclaimed to them that salvation is possible. And being a part of the kingdom of God that's drawing so near is a place where you want to be and where you are wanted. Jesus didn't make so much noise with his preaching that he scared people away, as did the fishermen in our story. Rather, Jesus preached and he reached out to those who needed him the most. You see, I'm called, but you're called also. And you and I are called to be the kind of disciples that hear God's voice, that catches the vision of the kingdom and heeds that call. This is what's at the heart of the gospel. So here's something for you to think about. What if I were to tell you that Jesus is right here, right now, calling you? What if I were to tell you that Jesus is among us and he's searching for us to follow and to dream and to be a part of the mission of bringing the kingdom near? What if I were to tell you that through what we say and do in the lives of others, we bring the kingdom just a little bit closer to those who are hurting, just a little bit closer to those whom upon whom injustice is reigning, just a little bit closer to those who have been told no by the world. You know, following Jesus is a countercultural movement, and it's not to be taken lightly. And there is great risk in it. And the disciples followed, they left everything that they knew, and they followed him, and the risk was inconsequential for whatever the reward. And they had no idea what danger following him might bring to their lives. So what if Jesus is right here, and he needs us to tell the message of the story of our salvation made possible through God's great gift for us, so that people might be brought just a little closer to the kingdom, so that those who sincerely and fervently need light might find light in their darkness, in our darkness. And let us always be mindful that we are not to foul up the fishing hole with empty noise about gospel, the gospel of Jesus and a relationship with him. But we are to be right there alongside of all who need to hear the gospel, but more importantly, need to feel the gospel in their lives. What if I were to tell you that Aldersgate United Methodist Church, the time is now. And the time is now for Slidell and for our surrounding communities, and the time is now for the world, and that we are to be a part of the perfect timing of God. The mission, it's fishing. May it also be true for you.